Picture the 1980 Miracle on Ice, the U.S. Olympic hockey game.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Right. And you are probably imagining the whole country, you know, huddled around their TVs, watching it live on NBC.
I mean, that is definitely the collective memory we all have.
Exactly. Well, almost everything about that memory is totally wrong.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it wasn't live, it wasn't on NBC, and it wasn't even the gold medal game.
Wait, it wasn't for the gold?
Nope. That perfectly illustrates just how much the simple act of watching sports has morphed into this wildly expensive, just chaotic maze of streaming subscriptions today. So, we are taking a second shot at an audio overview based on a single, incredibly detailed PDF source we've been analyzing.
Right, yeah.
It's titled Welcome to Your Bundle from Hell. And our mission for this deep dive is to figure out the underlying mechanics of how we actually got here, and more importantly, what you can do to survive it without completely emptying your bank account.
And what's fascinating here is how that historical anecdote perfectly anchors the massive shift in the broadcasting landscape. Because back in 1980, the setup was, well, it was incredibly simple.
Oh, totally.
You had three major networks, the Olympic rights were split. So ABC broadcast the Winter Games in Lake Placid while NBC had the Summer Games in Moscow.
And access was just concentrated, straightforward, and honestly, relatively cheap. I mean, ABC paid about $15.5 million for those Winter Games.
Right. And they actually tape delayed the Miracle on Ice.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Which was a semifinal against the Soviet Union, by the way. They tape delayed it to 8 p.m. on a Friday night just to maximize ratings.
And the actual gold medal game was 2 days later against Finland. Like, if the US had lost to Finland, the Soviets would have won the gold anyway.
It's crazy.
It is wild to think about how different the packaging of sports was back then. But, you know, fast forward to 2026, and the contrast is just jarring. NBC has held a complete lock on both summer and winter Olympic broadcasts in the States since 2008.
Right, and that agreement runs all the way through 2036.
Yep.
And if you look at the price tag, you really start to see the engine driving today's streaming chaos. Since 2008, NBC has spent a staggering $19.13 billion on Olympic rights alone.
19 billion.
Yeah.
That is wow.
Just massive. I mean, one extension back in 2014 cost them $7.75 billion. And those astronomical figures explain why sports rights have become the streaming industry's absolute go-to growth engine.
Yeah.
But, you know, as the source points out, it has also become their most expensive addiction.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really understand why everything is so fragmented now, we have to follow the money and look at how these massive price tags are reshaping where and how we watch. I am looking at the 2026 NFL broadcast map from the source right now, and the numbers are just, they're staggering. The regular season, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl are now completely carved up among six, possibly seven different rights holders.
It's a complete maze.
Let me read you this breakdown. Disney and ABC are paying $2.7 billion for Monday night games.
Right.
Paramount, operating CBS, is paying $2.1 billion. Fox is at $2.25 billion. Comcast, through NBC and Peacock, is paying $2 billion.
So the concentration we had in the 80s and 90s has entirely evaporated.
Completely. And that's just the traditional networks, right? Then you bring in the tech giants. Amazon Prime is paying $1 billion just for Thursday Night Football.
Just for Thursday.
Netflix jumped in, paying $150 million simply to own Christmas Day games. And YouTube is potentially grabbing premium games in 2026 after they tested the waters with a free Week One Brazil game in 2025.
Right, yeah.
So when you add all that up, excluding whatever YouTube might end up paying, the NFL is pulling in over $10.2 billion for one single season.
Which is, I mean, to put that $10.2 billion into context, one season of NFL rights costs a little more than half of what NBC has paid for several decades of Olympic rights combined.
That is just mind-blowing.
Right. To understand why platforms are willing to pay these exorbitant record-high fees, you have to look at the underlying mechanics of the streaming industry. Specifically, it comes down to a concept called churn.
Okay, so we hear churn tossed around a lot. What is the actual mechanism there?
Well, think about the behavior of a typical streaming customer. Streamers have spent years and billions of dollars building massive libraries of prestige dramas and big-budget originals.
Oh, absolutely.
But the fatal flaw in that business model is that a viewer will sign up on a Friday, binge an entire critically acclaimed series over the weekend, and then cancel their subscription on Monday morning.
Ah, right. Guilty as charged.
Exactly. We all do it.
Yeah.
The platform spent $50 million making the show, and they only extracted like $15 from that user.
Okay, so they are desperate for what the industry calls sticky subscribers.
Precisely. Live sports is the ultimate sticky content. I mean, a football season lasts for 5 months. If you're a diehard fan, you cannot cancel your Amazon Prime or your Peacock subscription after week one.
Right, you'd miss all the games.
You have to stay locked in and pay that monthly fee for the entire duration of the season. Streamers see live sports as a mandatory gateway to welcome new subscribers, prevent existing ones from leaving, and frankly, give their platforms a reason to exist beyond just reruns and movies.
But wait, didn't we ask for this? I have to push back here because for years, fans complained bitterly about paying $150 a month for a giant, clunky cable box filled with hundreds of channels they never watched.
Oh yeah, the cable bundle.
Right. We literally begged for an unbundled à la carte system where we only pay for what we want. Isn't this fragmented streaming map exactly what we wanted?
That is the great irony of the streaming revolution. We got exactly what we wished for, and it turned out to be a massive financial trap.
Wow.
In the old traditional cable bundle, the economics worked because the 80% of subscribers who didn't care about sports were silently subsidizing the 20% who did.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, everyone paid a little, which generated massive revenue for the networks to buy sports rights. Now that the bundle is shattered, that subsidy is gone.
Right.
If you want the sports, you have to bear the full unsubsidized cost of those multi-billion dollar rights deals yourself.
And the leagues know this. They're playing the streamers against the traditional networks to just drive the prices through the roof. And it's not isolated to the NFL. I'm looking at NASCAR in the source document.
Yeah, NASCAR is a great example.
Back in the day, you couldn't even watch a live flag-to-flag race until 1997. Now, NASCAR has a four-way split for 2026 worth about $1.1 billion a year.
A four-way split.
Yeah. Fox gets the first 14 races. Comcast, through NBC and Peacock, gets the final 14. Amazon Prime gets five mid-season races, and Warner Bros. Gets another five. Plus, practice and qualifying streaming exclusively on Max.
It's a strategy of demographic targeting and risk mitigation. Major League Baseball does the exact same thing. They pull in about $2 billion a year, but they divide it among six national partners. Yeah, you've got Apple TV, ESPN, Fox, NBC, Netflix, and Turner. The NBA operates on a three-way split, bringing in about $6.9 billion a year from
Wow.
Disney, NBC, Universal, and Amazon.
Wow.
The leagues want maximum cash, but they also want to hit every possible demographic. You know, the older fan on cable, the tech-savvy fan on Apple, the global audience on Netflix.
Which leads us to the ultimate victim in all of this, right? The fans' wallet.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because when you look at who is actually footing the bill for this demographic targeting, it's you, the listener.
Let me outline the absolute nightmare scenario for a diehard NFL fan based on a 2026 Fox Sports article referenced in our source. To get full coverage of the 2025 NFL season, a diehard fan had to spend between $600 and $800.
That is a staggering figure for just a few months of television.
It gets worse when you break it down. Most Sunday and Monday games are in your local market, sure, but for Thursday night, you need Amazon Prime, which is $14.99 a month.
Sunday night, you need Peacock, which is around $7.99 to $16.99 a month. Monday night, you need ESPN. Christmas Day games, you have to activate Netflix, which is another $8.99 to $26.99 a month.
It just keeps adding up.
And if you want every out-of-market Sunday game, you have to buy NFL Sunday Ticket through YouTube, which runs anywhere from $192 to $480 a season, depending on your subscriber status. Oh, and if you want Red Zone for live highlights, throw in another $14.99 a month for NFL Plus Premium.
It is the literal definition of death by a thousand subscriptions.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting, because it isn't just traditional American team sports pulling this trick. Look at Formula One.
Oh, yes.
F1 has exploded in popularity in the States, but to fully enjoy it, you need to pony up for Apple TV at $12.99 a month to actually watch the races. But then you also need a Netflix subscription to watch the companion docuseries, Drive to Survive.
That F1 strategy is a brilliant, albeit super frustrating, piece of modern sports marketing. The docuseries on Netflix operates essentially as mandatory homework.
Mandatory homework.
It builds the narratives, the hero and villain arcs, and the behind-the-scenes drama that makes the actual race on Apple TV compelling.
Right.
You cannot fully participate in the cultural conversation around the sport without paying two separate tech giants.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to watch the NFL, MLB, and NBA in 2026, you need a minimum of 8 to 10 different subscriptions on top of your standard $100 a month live TV or cable package.
That's insane.
Individually, each corporate deal makes sense, but collectively, they've built a system where no single platform offers a complete experience.
So if the national deals are placing out the average fan, you'd think the local networks would be the safe haven.
You would think so.
But the irony is, the exact same streaming economics that inflated the national deals have completely hollowed out local television. Let's look at the chaos happening at the local level and the RSN meltdown.
Regional sports networks.
Mm.
This is perhaps the most immediate crisis for the average fan right now.
The source notes that RSNs really started populating cable lineups in the late 1970s with networks like Prism, and the modern era kicked off with Comcast Sportsnet Philly in 1997.
Right.
For decades, this was your reliable Tuesday night routine. You turn on the regional channel, you watch your local baseball or basketball team. But now, these networks are collapsing. Bally's went bankrupt.
Yeah, that was huge.
The FanDuel network is sunsetting. It's getting to the point where Major League Baseball is actually having to step in and run production and distribution for some of its own teams because the local broadcast partners just simply evaporated overnight.
To understand why RSNs went bankrupt, we have to return to that cable bundle mechanism we talked about earlier.
Wow.
RSN survived on something called carriage fees.
Okay.
Every cable subscriber in a given city paid a few dollars a month to the RSN, regardless of whether they watched a single inning of baseball.
Just baked right into the bill.
Exactly. It was baked into the cable bill. But as millions of people cut the cord to move to Netflix and Hulu, those carriage fees completely dried up. Multiply a $5 lost carriage fee by 10 million cord cutters, and suddenly the RSN cannot afford to pay the local baseball team for the broadcast rights. The entire business model just snapped.
Wow. It's like a local mom-and-pop shop being bulldozed to build a massive multi-lane toll road. The infrastructure that connected the community to the team was destroyed to make way for high-priced national streaming traffic.
That's a great way to put it.
But what's wild is how some teams are actually reacting to this.
Yes, the collapse is leading to a fascinating regression to the mean. To combat this complete loss of local access, some teams are actually moving their games back to local over-the-air broadcast stations.
Like with antennas.
Yes. They're returning to their roots, giving the games away for free over the air via a standard TV antenna. They realize that if fans can't watch the games, they stop buying jerseys, they stop buying tickets, and a whole generation of kids grows up without caring about the team.
Right, out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. They are sacrificing immediate guaranteed broadcast cash for long-term franchise reach.
It's incredible. Baseball is returning to rabbit-ear antennas in some markets, while the NHL and NBA are exploring a different route. They are looking at the possibility of creating a centralized national streaming hub, but one that is combined with highly fragmented local deals.
Yeah.
It's an attempt to find a middle ground, but it's incredibly messy.
Very messy. And the overarching industry solution to all this fragmentation brings us to a concept called skinny bundles.
Right. So what does this all mean? The source highlights YouTube TV launching a new sports tier for $64.99 a month, and Disney is offering an unlimited bundle featuring Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN that runs between $35.99 and $44.99 a month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are skinny bundles just the old cable bundle returning from the grave in a new, slightly more annoying form?
That is precisely the mechanism at work. Streaming promised to unbundle the expensive cable package, but the economics of sports rights are so heavy that they act like gravity.
Gravity, huh?
Yeah, they force rebundling. The streamers are realizing that customer acquisition costs, you know, the marketing dollars spent to convince you to download their specific app, are just way too high.
That makes sense.
They can't survive offering standalone products when the sports rights cost billions. So bitter corporate rivals are teaming up to offer you a package deal, lowering their shared churn rate. It is essentially a cable package, just delivered over the internet and spread across different apps.
Okay, so the local networks are bankrupt, the national games are scattered across 8 different apps, and the corporate solution is just expensive cable 2.0.
Pretty much.
How on earth is a normal person supposed to navigate this?
Right.
Thankfully, our single PDF source does actually offer a survival guide to help you keep your sanity and your dollars intact.
It does, and the advice is highly practical, though it does require a genuine shift in how you consume media.
Okay, lay it on me.
First, you have to specialize. The days of being a general sports fan who passively flips channels and watches a bit of everything are over. The source recommends picking 2 to 3 specific teams to follow rather than trying to follow entire leagues.
That makes total sense. Like, don't try to buy the NBA League Pass and the MLB package and NFL Sunday ticket. Just follow your local squad.
Exactly. Second, you must accept that you will miss games. The fragmentation guarantees it. You have to let go of the completionist mindset.
That's tough for diehards.
It is, but you won't see every regular season matchup, and that just has to be okay.
Psh.
Third, the source suggests a brilliant hack: lean heavily into highlights. They recommend paying the $15 a month for an ad-free YouTube subscription.
Wait, paying for YouTube, how does that replace a sports package?
It changes the entire consumption model. Instead of committing 3 hours and a massive subscription fee to a single game, you watch extended 10 to 15 minute official game recaps the next morning.
Oh, I see.
Because it's ad-free, the experience is seamless. You get the narrative of the game, the momentum shifts, and the best plays all curated for you. It satisfies the sports itch without the massive time or financial burden.
Ad-free YouTube for extended highlights is a massive time and money saver. I love that. And the final piece of advice from the source: occasionally just hit a sports bar. If there's a massive football game or a motor racing event you really want to see that's locked behind a streaming service you refuse to pay for, just go buy a burger and a drink. Let the bar pay the exorbitant commercial licensing fee for the broadcast. It gives you the live experience without adding another recurring charge to your credit card statement.
It really comes down to being strategic with your attention and your wallet.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the source leaves us with a truly profound observation. It notes that sports remain our cultural glue. In an increasingly fractured society, it's one of the very few things that still brings vastly different demographics together in real time.
Yeah, you look around and there really aren't many things left that can do that. Everyone has their own personalized algorithm for news, music, and entertainment. Sports was kind of the last shared campfire.
But if that campfire is increasingly locked behind a massive spreadsheet of streaming paywalls, this raises a really important question. What happens to our shared cultural moments? We started this deep dive talking about the 1980 Miracle on Ice.
Right.
A moment that captivated the entire nation. It was a universally shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Are we losing the ability to have a modern day Miracle on Ice simply because half the country didn't subscribe to the right app?
Wow.
When a cultural touchstone requires $600 and a high-speed internet connection just to witness it, we fundamentally alter who gets to participate in the culture.
That is a deeply chilling thought. We've gone from a tape-delayed semifinal on network television that still managed to unite everyone to a world where a massive, historic playoff game might only be seen by the people willing to navigate 7 different apps and cough up $80 a month.
It's a completely different world.
The mechanism of unbundling was supposed to give us freedom, but instead, it kind of walled off the stadium. It definitely makes you wonder what we're losing as a society in the name of sticky subscribers and lowered churn rates. Something for you to mull over the next time you're staring at your smart TV, trying to figure out which tech giant holds the rights to your Thursday night game.